Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning podcast here at Lighthouse that we refer to as Manna. We have been in Proverbs chapter 22, and that's where we're going to continue to be in today. And so I've entitled it, What God Wants for You. And so my hope is that you'll embrace the things that God wants for you. But let's pray, and then we'll jump into our study. Father, love the way that you love us. You meet us right where we are, no matter how ugly our lives may be at the time, or broken, whatever sorrow or pain or suffering we are enduring from life and its circumstances, or from our own actions or our own brutal ways. Your grace is enough to rescue us. Your word describes that you are the lifter of our heads. God, you lift us up and we peer into the beauty of your loving eyes and we are held by you. Your promises are secure around us. And Lord, your spirit affirms the kindness of your heart. Thank you for our time together today as I ask that you would bless it. Go before us. Lead us, Lord. Yeah, through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's start with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. It says, "Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease." Drive out the scoffer. Remove the one that constantly mocks or derides others. Do you know of that type of person? Maybe you're familiar with that. I see it constantly when I see sitcoms. And so the benefit of being able to drive them out when you're at home and you see it on TV is you get to shut the TV off. Oh, that feels good. But it says to drive out the scoffer, the one who ridicules others and mocks others and has contempt for others. And they disguise it with humor. Have you noticed that? Humor seems to allow those who are scoffers attention. And when we give them that attention, it's like feeding the bear that is going to devour you. Oh, don't think that those who are mockers and scoffers of others, when they are in your absence, or you are in their absence, I should say, and they are speaking to others, that you don't become the object of their scorn in that crowd. God's word may seem a little abrupt. It says, drive them out. So what does that mean? Does it mean you pick them up and drive them out? Well, maybe, I don't know, but I would hope not. But I think that it means this. I think that it means don't give them the time of day. Especially don't laugh at their mockery. Be the one that is silent with a look of recognizing that's disrespectful. And maybe even a strong correction that says that's disrespectful. The benefit of silencing a scoffer says contention stops. Well, pay attention to that. That means that scoffers cause contention between people. Yeah, they do. And to agree with them is like I said before, it's like giving them candy. It's like feeding them. And they feed on the acceptance of ridicule and derision of others. But the other benefit of driving out a scoffer is that strife and dishonor between people ceases. Huh. They cause a lot of interrelational turmoil. Mockery, ridicule, malicious belittling or scoffing is dishonoring. May invite you, be courageous the next time there's a scoffer and think of how those words may hurt and dishonor others. Put a stop to it. You'll be glad you did, and others will be blessed as well. Hey, well, we've camped there quite a while, so let's move on. Verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious The king is his friend. Isn't it fitting that this verse comes right after talking about scoffing? The one who possesses a pure heart, the one who sees the value in each person, affirming them in life, especially when you can easily see that they've been wounded by the words of a scoffer or ridiculing laughter. When it come alongside and you affirm the fact that you love them and what you see, the value in them, you speak that to them and you get the king's attention. Oh, you don't do it to get the king's attention. No, by doing it, having the right heart, a purified heart that says, man, that no, that's a person. That's a valuable person because they're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And that gets the king's attention and in a good way. And he says this, he says, that's the type of person I want as my friend. I don't know about you, but I think I would want to be the friend of the king. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. God affirms preserving insight to those who possess healthy social speech, and its foundation is knowledge. That means that they let scoffers eat their own words, you know. So if you're a scoffer, I would recommend listening to yourself. Think about the statements being directed right back at you and stop scoffing and mocking and ridiculing. God says he's going to overthrow your words of the treacherous man. He describes the scoffer as a treacherous man. Man, one who causes great suffering. Because the greater suffering will be yours. Verse 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. What is that? Well, I think that's an example of a scoffer. The sluggard, the one who doesn't take the time to think and makes ridiculing statements about life. They, you know, the quick to respond. But their real focus is on themselves. Oh, if I can gain some attention, I feed on that. You know, and of course, they neglect the hearts of others, which will actually be to their own demise. Verse 14. The mouth of the adulteress is a deep pit, and he who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. Well, yeah, there's no question that that's true literally, but I think that this is also speaking about another example of scoffers. The adulteress, one who seduces others with their speech. Those who reject the things of God will be the ones who suffer. And of course, this reminds me of the love of God. And you might say, well, how does that remind you of the love of God? Well, do you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the passerbyers and what they said about him? I want to read that to you. It's in Matthew 27, 39. It starts in 39. It says this, and those passing by were hurling abuses at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Oh, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him. And he said, I am the Son of God. The robbers who have been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. See, it was Jesus that chose to suffer for the scoffers. The very people who are ridiculing, mocking, and deriding him and the Father. Even the thieves, those who were guilty, pronounced guilty, they were full of mockery. But something happened. Jesus spoke. He didn't return insult for insult, and he didn't try to correct them. He powerfully said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, dear God, how I cry for that same forgiveness. How I foolishly mocked and ridiculed and scorned others, if you will. how wrong it is. But yet he paid the price for that wrong. And when he said that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I think that what that did was there was one of the thieves that heard it. He heard it. And it changed his heart. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And of course, we know what Jesus said. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And oh, as we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and we long to be with him, I see you, I recognize you, I submit to you as my God and my King. See, we're no different until we hear the voice of God, until we receive the love of God, until we receive the redemption of God. All by a God by the name of Jesus who hung on a cross for us, who paid the price for our mockery. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for saving us, rescuing us from ourselves. Thank you for the power of your forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you all, and I trust that you are blessed by the love of Christ for you today, too. See you next week.